Previously on Improv Sucks.
So I'm Bill Miller. I'm one of the founding members of Sunbirds and two remaining. I've lived in Chicago for about 10 years exactly. I moved here in 2009. I went to DePaul. I moved to Chicago because I was from a very small town in North Carolina called Carthage. I've met one person who has ever heard of it since I've been in Chicago 10 years. One person who's heard of Carthage, so if you've heard of it, you can email me. And yeah, I knew my mom grew up in Elmhurst, so we visited Chicago a fair amount when I was a kid, like on summers and stuff. Occasionally there's sort of family in the area. So when it came time to figure out what college I was gonna go to, like I applied here, I looked at schools in New York, and I was like, Chicago, I don't know. The application I think was a lot cheaper for DePaul, which is weird because it's not a cheap school. So yeah, I don't know. I've been here ever since. I like it. It's cool. Great.
When did the comedy bug hit you?
So I started doing stuff 3 or so, maybe it's been 4 years ago, and I have not done that much. But truthfully, I had like a tax refund. I had a job that paid me very badly, and I got a tax refund from it. And I didn't have any credit card debt or anything like that. I still have student debt, but, you know, whatever. What am I going to spend money on that for? That's not going anywhere. So I decided to... I didn't know where to spend it. I hadn't seen an improv show since probably my freshman year of college, going to Baby Wants Candy over at the Apollo Theater. But I was looking for something to do, and I was like, well, I have nothing going on in my life for the most part. Like, I don't know. I socialize, I go to bars, whatever.
Right.
But in terms of something constructive, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll try this. And so I signed up for a class at IO that was taking place like 3 months later. And I just signed up on a whim with that tax money that I shouldn't have spent. And then I started reading about it, and I just read a bunch of stuff where I was like, whoa, don't do this first. This is scary. This is like really hard. And I was like, fuck, what am I doing? And I was like, well, I have no skin in this game. I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter. No, none of these people know me. So I could just kind of do whatever I wanted.
Wow.
And it was, yeah.
Truly on a lark.
I mean, it was dumb. Yeah.
Like, what kept you in it? Most people I know, they've got like, there's a moment and there's a thing and it's really beautiful, but
I made some good friends doing classes there, and I think I probably have like a tendency to like, if I start doing something, like I don't know, I probably didn't talk about doing it a lot until I'd been doing it for a while, because it's you know, you don't want to like, oh, I started doing this thing, and then it's like a hobby that you drop a week later, and it's like,
right.
Hey, what's going on with that?
Right.
So after I'd been doing it a while, made some friends. It was fun. I mean, it was, going okay. It was kind of just, I mean, obviously it costs money.
Right.
But eventually was harder and harder to come by because, you know, tax refunds don't come all the time. But, not that hard to just kind of keep doing it, I guess. Daryl?
Okay.
Or if you have follow-up.
Great. Thank you. Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm Daryl Monti. I have also lived in the city for 10 years. I moved here in 2009.
Wow.
The reason I moved here is because prior to living in Chicago, I lived in Los Angeles and hated almost every solitary second of it. And I had a childhood friend who had moved here. I'm originally from Massachusetts, so it was a friend of mine from Massachusetts. Had moved here about a year before I got here, and he was living in a two-bedroom apartment in Humboldt Park by himself. I had a phone conversation with him and kind of expressed my disdain for, you know, kind of the living situation I had in LA. Like, it just didn't really suit, you know, kind of my lifestyle. And he's like, well, you know, I'm living in a two-bedroom all by myself, so if you want that other room, it's yours. So never having set foot in this city ever for a second, I'm like, you know what? Fine. Like, I'll throw the dice because, like, LA just isn't hitting for me. Although I have been back subsequently, and I find Los Angeles a wonderful place to visit. It just, like, didn't suit me living there. Yeah.
So Chicago also on a lark.
Yeah, it was.
Y'all, I'm making some crazy connections.
Yeah. It totally was on a whim. I had no really good reason to move here. I didn't have a job lined up. I knew nothing about the city. Nothing really. I just took a gamble. It seemed like it would, like, probably be more my speed than LA was.
Okay, so why improv? Why comedy? What got you into that?
Well, I mean, I was always, like, a theater kid in high school. Like, I loved doing school plays, and I was definitely, like, always kind of a performer, and I kind of... I did sketch comedy in college, and then there was a lull for a while. I didn't really perform or anything, but I just desperately missed it, and... Mm. I lived here, I want to say I started taking my first classes here in 2014 or 2015. So I was here for like a good 6 years when it dawned on me. I'm like, I really want to do this. I really want to start performing again. And, if I don't, I'm just going to be kind of sad. You know, like it's kind of like my lifeblood. I love like getting up on stage. So I just kind of, I think I might have used tax refund money as well to finance, like...
Does anyone have any other money?
Seriously. Yeah, everybody's so broke. But I'm almost positive I used tax refund money, or it might have been a Christmas gift, I can't remember which, when I took my first, IO Level 1 class. And I really liked it because we started doing scene work. The first day of class, I had done, prior to that, I did do like some of the Second City, like, A through like E classes. I think I did like level A, and, it was fun, but it just felt like warm ups for about 8 weeks. And I'm like, I don't really want to pay like $400 to do like zip, zap, zap for 8 weeks. But I really responded to IO right away. Because in my experience, they just kind of treat the people in classes less with kid gloves and like just kind of get them to like really play and like just do something a little more ambitious right off the bat.
Exactly, and I've never questioned them since.
Yep.
So let's pivot. How did Some Birds come to be? What is your style of play? Walk us through that stuff.
We were formed as a team out of auditions for the Incubator program in 2017. There were 10 of us or 11.
I can't remember.
And some of them, the original ones, are still listed on our members page on the website.
Yes.
You can check it out.
Yes.
Shout out Nile. Shout out Alicia.
Yeah.
George Elrod was previously on our team.
Fantastic people,
truly talented people, all went on to do great things. Then over time,
our form changed a lot, and it's kind of it's changed partially because of stuff that we've done on stage, like what's worked for us and what hasn't, and some of it has changed by necessity. When we were a larger ensemble of like 10, 11 people, we'd do a lot of stuff with like scene painting.
Definitely as we went through the stages of having attrition among our members, we would come up with new forms or ideas that we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And the old ones that nobody had rehearsed anymore.
Right.
Went away.
But we kind of moved away from like that environmental, like scene painting, like montage style, to doing mono scenes, partially out of necessity because we would have you know, sort of low numbers because people either couldn't make it or like were dropping out of the team and stuff. So we started doing a lot more monocene type stuff. And now that is down to a healthy core of myself and Bill and no one else.
And truthfully, if I were going to say what our style, like our style is very simple.
Yeah.
We don't do a lot of voices typically.
No, it's I would say it's pretty grounded.
It's monocenes and, I think there's a real core of unhappiness in a lot of them.
We tend to go extremely dark.
And people really respond. I think that there must be something going on in this country where people are looking for an outlet.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I feel like there's a layer of unhappiness just under the surface that I can't quite put my finger on or like attribute to anything. Like from an administration to anything else.
It's really rare to see a group of people who audition together in such a large number and through that natural distillation process to get down to such a small number and still like each other and enjoy each other and like want to be playing together. Like that's a really cool journey that you came through to still like playing together.
Right. Well, it's crystallized into the two sickos. That's kind of it.
And I think then it just happens where like when we do get up and do shows like once a month or whatever, when we can pull in an audience, like they turn out well, like it works and we don't rehearse. It just kind of all flows pretty easily. I think like having done it for a couple of years, like it's sort of is more of a natural rapport at this point.
I also prioritize like having a forum to get up and kind of do anything, you know? So, I enjoy playing here because it's, kind of anything goes.
Oh yeah.
You're not beholden to any expectation of another building or style of play or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we don't have a form that we're
really watching you saying you're still going to be a part of this theater or this ensemble or whatever, regardless of what you do.
Yeah, exactly. We're not under a microscope. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been kind of able to just do whatever the hell we like. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of fun. And it's paid dividends too. We've had some good shows.
Yeah, when we get up there, they seem to go pretty well.
It really seems like you've helped find your unique voices amongst each other.
I don't know.
It's
a like, very unique style.
Well, we used to try to like fight against it because we're like, we always go dark. Let's be friendly. Let's love each other, and it like immediately devolves into like just terrible stinging.
Yeah, which is what we love.
It's the funnest thing in the world. the best show we did by far was one where Bill was the proprietor of a pawn shop or
a clothing store kind of
thing. Yeah, it was like
a second consign shop.
It was like a consignment shop, but everything in the shop was like had a horrible backstory. there was a quilt or something made from like the uniform of the teacher on the Challenger exploded.
Oh, wow.
It was really fun.
People love that. We got a message after the show, somebody like, hey, I really loved what you did to you on Facebook. Like, I've never had that happen before. I was like, really? Okay. And I do remember that you did go into like 2 minutes of GWAR specifics, which is also definitely a part of our voice. It's a big element that can pop up at any time.
Well, y'all are also just kind of nice people too, so like from the use that I know. Right.
Yeah, I think we're definitely nice people.
Yeah, it's right, just, so it's funny to like see someone who's like nice, approachable, kind off stage walk on the stage and just be like dark, but not sad. Because I think that sometimes people go and approach darkness in the comedy and it feels sad. Like there's no levity to it.
Yeah.
And I don't ever notice that with y'all, which is refreshing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's like, I guess that's our style.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Nice guys with a real morbid streak.
I think morbid is a good way to put it too. Definitely, like, yeah, I don't get like a huge kick out of like if it were like a sad thing where it's like, oh, my life's all fucked up. Like,
yeah,
I'm fucked up all the time. I do bad things and I'm bad. Laugh at it. Like, I don't think it's. I don't find it.
Those. Are
I don't think it's funny coming from me. There are people who can do it very well.
Yeah,
it's not my thing.
Gotcha.
Those are always my favorite people, though. Like, usually my favorite performers to watch are like. Like an example of that is like Brad Pike, super sweet guy, very soft spoken, but when he takes the stage, also like a Sunbirds coach at one point, with like much to my delight,
that was a good one.
But yeah, when he gets on stage, like he takes you to the ninth circle of hell.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is.
I haven't seen him in a long time, but he does post on Facebook a fair amount, and it does really capture his...
All right. I'm gonna go for a follow later on for that. All right, so we've learned about what brings you together, what unifies you, what you both enjoy. Let's talk about the things about improv that you think suck.
All right. Well... I guess if we're talking the culture surrounding it, like external, like to doing improv, there's like a fair amount of things that suck. Like, one, paying to play. There is a somewhat cost prohibitive barrier to entry, and it's, I mean, it sucks for me. It's also like, I would say like one of the reasons, like it's kind of like a systemic reason why like improv tends not to be diverse, you know, because it costs money to take classes. It costs money to do like jams. It costs money to do a lot of it, and you don't get paid. So like that can be a pain in the ass. Along with that, like, a lot of shows tend to be either sparsely attended, or it's like just the same. It's just like the same group of friends seeing one another's shows. Like Dylan Cassidy, who founded The Crowd, basically said that like Chicago improv at its worst is just the same $5 being passed around over and over and over again. So that aspect of it sucks.
Yeah, I think one thing that kind of relates to is also just the sense that, like, the pay-to-play thing, where that can lead to such attrition among teams over time, if they aren't bringing in audiences, that kind of thing. It doesn't give people a lot of time with a group or with themselves to find a voice that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, like, for some birds performing here, like, at the playgrounds, you know, there's not so much of an expectation like that, especially going through the incubator program. So we wouldn't have had 2 years to just like shed members and eventually end up here. like, we wouldn't be here probably.
Right.
But at the same time, like, that finding your voice thing is so important when it comes to defining like a distinct sort of style. So you have so many teams and so many bills of improv teams in the cities where it's like four teams and they're all going up and they're all doing 15 minute sets and they're all assortments of scenes. And if you're looking at that from the outside, like, it's not at all clear what is different between what happens at one theater, what happens at another. And so I think that can also struggle to build an audience like you're talking about.
Yeah. Straight up oversaturation. You know, like, there's a bunch of shows and they're all to like the layman, or somebody like outside of like the community, kind of appear to be like the exact same. Yeah, that can be annoying. The other thing I would say is like, I think what, at least if we're talking about ensemble, like what, like the kind of X factor, like the special ingredient you need for a team to really function is like camaraderie and like rapport. And it's the one thing that I find a lot of people that are improvising now or like starting out don't prioritize. And it's like, it's really, really hard to like build a tight ensemble. Like they see teams like that they really admire, and like they're looking at the individual performers and they're not looking at the team. And like, probably if you see a team that's been around for, let's say 3 or 4 years, and they're really tight, chances are they're probably like hanging out,
yeah,
like outside of doing performances, or like having some sort of relationship with one another outside of like rehearsals and performances. And people don't prioritize that at all, and like they wonder why like why their team can't like make progress.
You either need to be the improv cyborg who is just born to improvise and can improvise on a dime with anybody, or you need to like the people you're doing it with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if there's one thing that people just like don't really talk about in terms of like why improv sucks and what makes the scene sucks, it's like the groupies. Like, can I have a minute? Can you just give me some space? Just like crawling all over me. I'm in the green room. I'm trying to relax. I just shredded on stage for 25 minutes. I put my heart and soul into this. Uh-huh. And then you also have to invade my personal space.
Right.
That really is the hardest part. I mean, I've just done a Herald.
Yeah.
I'm back
the world
in the dressing room.
I'm trying to get my performer discount at the bar. Yeah, that does not mean that you can approach me.
Exactly. I'm trying to get $2 off the $4 hams, and someone I barely know is trying to make a plaster cast of my genitals. Like, it's so annoying.
I spent 3 minutes terrified that bit wouldn't land.
Well, that's
so scared. Yeah. So scared.
Hey, we're here for the bits too, y'all. Well,
Improv Sucks is recorded live every Monday in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago, USA, at The Mixer. The Mixer is a hyper-inclusive improv workshop and jam. Every week, we find some of Chicago's finest performers to teach a workshop and improvise right along with you. Come on by the Playground Theater on Monday nights at 10 p.m. to join in on the fun. Many thanks to the people who helped make the show: Morgan for editing and co-hosting, Faraz for all of his help producing the show. Big props to the Nerdalogs for technical production and website hosting. This show really wouldn't be possible without them. All of their shows are supported by great people like yourself on Patreon. Seriously, if you love independent media, consider tossing them a buck a month. If everyone that listened chipped in, they'd be able to support more shows just like this one. Thanks. We'll be right back.